I hear you say better? Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you. Amen. Can we read our scripture Bible this morning from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? We're going to read from verse 3. To verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 3 to 8. Can we go together, please? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all those who do such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us unto uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has giving us his Holy Spirit. Can you take the Bible? We'll say together confession. Raise your Bible up, everyone. If you have one, say it after me. This is the word of God. I submit myself to it, to the authority of this word. And I open my heart this morning to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit as I meditate on this word. Father, give me light. Give me understanding. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name, a big amen. God bless you. Please welcome your neighbor before you sit down. Please, can you help me welcome your neighbor one more time? God bless you. I greet you all in Jesus' name. And I will want to encourage everybody at this point to be seated. Whatever photograph we have taken before now should be enough until after the message. Except those who are at the back on the camera. Everybody should be attentive. I don't want anybody to be moving around again. Every one of us need to pay attention. Praise the Lord. As much as possible, no movement around, please. I'll be speaking on this topic, Satan's deadliest weapon, sexual immorality. Satan's deadliest weapon, sexual immorality. Satan's deadliest weapon, sexual immorality. Why is it so deadly? Number one, nobody is immune from this temptation, from sexual temptation. Whether young or old, whether nice or bad, whether godly or ungodly, whether church member or pastor, whether chief or subject, Everybody, nobody is immune from the temptation of sexual immorality. Whether grandfather, grandmother, or just starting parents, just new parents, no one is immune from this. Number two, no one can outgrow it. Can I get to a point in which I would say, I've grown to a point in which I can never be tempted. No one can outgrow sexual temptation. Number three, it takes advantage of the gifts of God. Sexual immorality takes advantage of the gifts of God. It explores what God has given us. Maybe I should just quickly drop a word there before I go ahead so that in case I don't have time to come back again to it. The desire for intimacy is natural. It's a gift of God. From the time a person is born, there's a desire. You see the little baby cuddling his or mom. Just want to hold her mom. Just want to stay. You see, a woman just want to put her head on the shoulder of her husband or her friend. Everyone desires intimacy. It's a natural thing that God has put in you. When it is not there, it calls for psychological investigation. So Satan takes advantage of it. Of that gift. We're going to speak more on this as we go ahead. Number four. It is a sin that is against the body. The Bible says it specifically in 1 Corinthians 6, 18. The sin that a man commits is not against the body, but sexual immorality is against the body. It is against the body, which is the temple of God. And what does that mean? What is the implication of that? It brings you in collision with your maker. It brings you to collide with your maker. And that is destruction. That is terrible. If you have a house and somebody goes there to dump and just put refuse in front of your house, I'm sure you will react. That's why God reacts. We saw last week in one of our devotionals, and we had it on Tuesday in detail. The king of Moab, Balak, and the people of Moab could not stop the children of Israel from being blessed. Balaam could not. Every curse was turned to a blessing. God wouldn't allow it. However, Balaam, as a prophet, knew that there's only one thing that the Israelites can do that can set them against God, that will make them to be, make God to become their enemy rather than their defender. That was sexual sin. So what he did was to advise Balaam, Balak, who hired him, and said, you know, God wouldn't allow me to curse them, but I can tell you, I can advise you, do something, and you will see God's, that same smiling God face of God will turn to consuming fire. You know, the Bible says, for God is a consuming fire. Even though he's a God of love, it is dangerous to collide with him, or God collides with you. Say, just do this. Advise your young ladies to begin to seduce the men and the boys. Seduce them. The young ladies of Moab and the Midianites, let them begin to seduce the boys and the men, and let them start sexual relationship with them. Wow, that was a good idea for Balak. And Balak took it back and had a meeting, a council meeting, on how to stir up, and that women should go begin to mix up with the men and the boys. Just make sure you seduce them into sexual relationship. The Bible says in chapter 25, suddenly they began to mess around with the Midianites, with the women, and God was angry. The Bible says in one day, 24,000 people died. God brought the judgment upon the land. Say, I can't stand it. Plague. God allowed plague to just break into the midst of them and start dying. Now, watch this enchantment of Balaam could not do. The enticement of the women of Midian and the young girls did. What Balaam could not do to bring down the children of Israel. The little girls, those teenager girls, they brought down the men flat. It's a weapon. The deadliest weapon of the enemy. Because it will bring you against God. We set God against you. God becomes your enemy instead of your friend. Next. It brings a soul tie. It brings soul ties. Soul ties. Soul ties. Sexual immorality is beyond just physical, just sexual enjoyment. It beyond intercourse, just the enjoyment of the moment. It's beyond it. It is spiritual. It is an exchange of spirits. One of the greatest way, the quickest way the enemy enters into the life of people is through sexual immorality. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 6:16, he said, do you not know that to whom you joined with, you are one spirit with? Anyone you join with, you are the same spirit with that person. It's an exchange of spirit. It's a soul tie. Soul ties. It beyond just the moment of sex, the pleasure, and you stand up and you clean up yourself, is deeper than that. Spiritual. Next, why it is deadly. It distorts intimacy and love, the natural gifts of God.
That's just the difference. It takes that same love. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love is not of God, for God is love. God is love. When that's, you know what Satan does? He takes that love, he perverts it, turns it around. The same love now confuses it, turns it around. That's what we call perversion. It becomes lust. Love now becomes lust. So what many people call love is the love that Satan has taken and has changed it, perverted it into lust. It's no longer love. Sleep with me, they call it love. Prove to me that you love me. Just let me sleep with you once. Prove to me, let me show me your love. You know, people define it, just show me your love. It is the same. The enemy took that same thing, perverted it. You see why it's deadly? It's a gift, but the enemy has perverted it. Next point. It leads to other sins, other deadly sins. It breeds them. Of course, hypocrisy comes in. Secrecy comes in. Lies comes in. And anything you can even imagine. Because you want to cover up. You want to live in hypocrisy. That's why the scripture says in 1 Timothy 4, 1, 2, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4, 1, 2. Lying in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Hardiness comes in. Addiction comes in after it. Hypocrisy, lies. Let me mention one more. How many have I mentioned? Seven. I think I should stop at seven. But let me just say this. I always like to rhyme around about 7.7 as a perfect number. Let me just say this. Sexual immorality works with conditions. You know, there are different types of immoralities. But sexual immorality works with conditions. For example, sexual immorality works in conducive environments. It would be madness for you to see someone right in this kind of congregation now, as we are. Somebody decide to go and hold somebody. That would be madness. But let's people go out of this place. Nobody's here. And the door is closed. See what can happen. Temptation or sexual immorality comes in. Even if there's a temptation and you can't yield now. You can't. Nobody will go in front of a police station and go and commit sexual immorality. Lost conditions, one of the deadliest weapons of the enemy. has brought so many down, both great and small, both young and old, destinies have been destroyed by this weapon. Marriages have been destroyed by this weapon. Pleasant, blissful home have been turned to nothing, have been turned to reproach through this deadly weapon of the enemy. Great glory has been stolen. Fortunes have been mortgaged through this deadly weapon of the enemy. Both young and old. Many children's lives have been ruined. That's why you see some, after they have grown, it is then they can speak out what happened when they were young. They've been living under guilt. The deadliest weapon of the enemy. The scripture we read, the Bible says, this verse 3, that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Said, this is God's desire, that every man should know how to possess, take short, have control over his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. The Gentiles who do not know God, they behave like goats. He said, but God's will is that this gift that God has given to you should be used under the boundaries of which God has commanded it. Listen to this. When that's why I say it's a gift of God. When that same gift which the enemy has perverted, if it is used in the condition which God has recommended, which is in marriage, it is holy. It is good. But when it is used outside it, it brings God's wrath upon man. That's why you can see why the enemy takes advantage of it. That's why, for example, lying, whether in marriage or in single, lie is lie. Stealing is stealing. Whether you are a youth or you are married or you are a grandparent. But sexual immorality, when you use that gift that God has given of intimacy, you use it outside God's will, outside the boundary which God has commanded, it brings God's wrath. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4, Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. Honorable among all, the bed that is not defiled. But fornicators and warmongers, God will judge them. In other words, you see, this intimacy is good in marriage, but it's not permitted outside it. Any trial of it will bring its wrath, will bring God's judgment. Deadly weapon. What the sorcery of Balaam could not do, the seduction of the woman of Moab did. What the enchantment of Moab, Balak, and the people of Moab could not do for Israel, the enticement of the ladies did it easily and cheaply. They were brought down. Deadly weapon. The whole king of David was brought down by this weapon.
His kingdom was torn because of the same weapon of the enemy. That's why I said nobody is immune from this temptation. It may wait for you until you get there. David did not have such temptation before he became a king. It was when he became a king. He was brought down flat. This message this morning is not to bring condemnation, but to tell you, the Bible says this, word of God is given, the scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, that is the truth of the word, for rebuke, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness, to teach you and equip you with steps, knowledge, and wisdom to overcome this temptation, this deadly temptation, and to preserve that enviable destiny that God has given you, giving your family, giving your children. As powerful as the weapon of sexual immorality is, the grace of God is more powerful. It's more powerful. It's no match for it. So I've come this morning to share with you the power of God's grace, how you can overcome that weapon, prevail over it. In the book of John chapter 8, the Bible tells us they brought one woman to Jesus. The woman, the scripture says, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. We caught her red-handed. And the woman, Jesus said, then, what does the law of Moses say? They said, the law of Moses says this, once you are able to have evidence, like this case that we caught her red-handed, she should be stoned to death. Why Jesus asked that question, the Bible says, and Jesus bent down. They came with the law, but they forgotten that this is the master of the law himself. Jesus bent down on the rock and he began to write. Next, he said, now, if any one of you does not have seen any sin, anyone should take the first stone and hit it on this woman. And the Bible says, by the time Jesus raised up his head and looked, he didn't see them again. One after the other, they dropped the stone and they walked away. They dropped the stone and they walked away. Dropped the stone and walked away. And Jesus said, the woman was shaking and quaking because she was in the face of death. The stone of death was hanging, was about to be brought down by the law. The law kills you, but grace sets you free. The law condemns you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans 8, when there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the law, but according to the righteousness which is by faith. The stone of death was hanging. The woman was quaking and shaking in front. Jesus was here in front. They were also looking in between them. Jesus was in between them. The woman was quaking, was afraid. This is my end. By the time Jesus looked up and stood up and turned to the woman, woman, where are your accuser? He said, I can't find them. And he said one very instructive statement. And he said, now, go and sin no more. He said, neither do I condemn you. They came to condemn you, but your condemners have gone. But I'm not condemning you.
neither do I condemn you. He said, go now and sin no more. Friends, listen to this. Until you receive the word of go, there is no condemnation. You cannot overcome sin. Until you have the go and that there is no condemnation for you, you can't overcome it. That was the first thing. Jesus said, where are your accusers? Those who condemn you, where are they? He said, neither do I condemn you. You must first of all overcome it before you have victory over sin. And Christ gives you that victory. Now, so this morning I've not come to condemn you. You are in that hold of sexual immorality. You've been struggling to get out of it, but it's been trouble for you. You are not happy. You are sad inside of you. I have not come like the Lord, the Pharisees, to condemn you. But I've come like the man of grace to tell you the way out of this. Remember, no man is immune from this temptation. Not even a pastor. No man is immune from this temptation. Whether young or old. No man is immune from this temptation, whether king or subject. No man. How do you break away from this grip? How do you overcome it? Number one, very important, know that you are vulnerable. The first thing is that you got to know that I can fall. Know that I can fall. That is the bane of the trouble of our generation. Many people assume I can't fall, and therefore you throw away God. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He that thinks he stands should do what? Should take heed lest he fall. Know that you are vulnerable. When you are conscious of it, that you are vulnerable, you will take heed to yourself. But when you feel that I am not vulnerable, I'm free, nothing, I can sit in the lap of a lady, nothing will happen to me. Say, he who sits upon the coal of fire, will the fire not burn him? It's not possible. How can you sit upon the coal of fire and the fire will not burn you? When you feel, no, I can do anything. Me, it doesn't matter what happened to that brother. For me, I can sleep in the hand of any lady, the house of any lady. Nothing will happen to me. Your story will soon be said. Will soon be told. You must know that you are vulnerable. When your wife begins to tell you, be careful. Don't throw it away. Kini. You think I'm like that? Nothing can happen to me. You are vulnerable. When your husband begins to tell you, "Go, shut up, Eleni," Kini, you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. Even angels fell. I hope you know. They came and started messing with the sons of men in the book of Genesis. You are vulnerable. Number two. Confess it, your sin. Don't hide it. If you look at the book of Psalm 51, it's the Psalm of David. After he committed, he had that fall. It was a terrible fall with Bathsheba. From verse 1, have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot away my transgression. Look at verse 2. Watch me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Next. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Next. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this wickedness, this evil in your side, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. When Nathan came and confronted him with a sin, David fell down and began to confess. That was the origin of this psalm. Friends, you want to overcome it? Confess it. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, he who covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses it and forsake them shall have mercy. Confess it. Don't hide it. Friends, listen to this. Don't justify sin nor rationalize it. It's not my fault. But you know, but no. Don't justify sin. Don't rationalize it. Call a spade a spade. I sinned. I committed adultery. I committed fornication. Is that lady? Is that man? No. Number two, think quickly. Number three. Number one is what? You are vulnerable. Number two, confess it. Number three, thank you, you are following. Number three, very important. Repent with action. You know, this word, this statement, repent with action, this phrase, is like tautology. But because the true meaning of repentance, the true meaning of repentance is not only confessing your sin, acknowledging your sin, but changing your direction. You're going this way before you discover that you're wrong. I'm sorry. You don't keep on going, or you stay there. You make a U-turn. You don't remain in the same place and say, I confess my sin. I'm not doing it again. And you are there. You change your direction. That's why I just repeated it for understanding. Repent with action. John the Baptist was rebuking them in the book of Matthew 3:8. He said, bring forth fruits meant for repentance, worthy of repentance. You can't say, I have confessed my sin. That lady, you are still hanging around with that lady. You can't say, I have confessed my sin. You are still hanging around with that woman. You are a liar. You can't say you have confessed your sin. Every night they still see you hanging around with that man, that boy, that lady, that woman. You say you have confessed your sin. You are not truthful to yourself. And God cannot be mocked, you know. You must put action into your confession. He said, he who covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses, that Proverbs 28:13, and forsake. Confess and forsake. Maybe those movies that you've been watching, you can't keep on watching that movie. Maybe you need to stop that movie. That's those songs you've been listening to. Maybe you need to stop those songs. Maybe those friends you've been hanging around with, you need to stop that friendship. You may need to unfollow some people you are following on Facebook. Unfollow them. You may need to block some people on Facebook who post sexual content that have always been the trouble of your life when you see them. David said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman. What are those things you've been looking? What are those things you've been hearing? You still feel there's nothing bad. You are too spiritual. How can you tell me to block that? You know what? The world is growing now. Do you know that even some interview you go for now, they demand for your Facebook page? I hope you know now. Now, American just brought it now. I think the American embassy. This is a new thing now, that if you are coming, You are going as a student, you want to go apply for visa in America, you are required to show your Facebook page, your Twitter page, or your social media platform. That's the requirement now. Those of you that want to go to school in America for your master's and your first degree, be careful with what is in your, the kind of Facebook page you carry, and those who are your friends. That's the neat thing now. As at yesterday, I read it yesterday. Unblock or block some of them. Unfollow them. Some people you follow with those so terrible things and say, it doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't matter. Everything spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. Make a covenant with your eyes and with your ears. You will not hear anything that will defy your spirit. You will not see anything that will corrupt your mind. It's a decision. Repent with action. The Bible tells us what happened in the days of old. After they had repented, I think that should be Act 19 something. After they had repented, they brought their magic books and all those occultic books they brought and they were burnt. You can't keep on keeping those things, keeping those relationships, keeping that page, that Facebook page, and you say you have repented. Repent with action. Number three. Oh my God. Number four. When necessary, friends, listen to this. Seek help. Seek help. If you have tried it and it didn't work, please swallow your pride and seek for help. Look for a trusted counselor, a trusted person who can help you. Someone you can confide in that will not expose your secrecy into the world. Somebody you can share your mind with that will not go and blow it on TV. Look for somebody you can trust. Look for a person, not just somebody you can trust, somebody who can help you. Somebody who can help you. Some of your mates may not be able to help you. Remember the son of Solomon? That time, he went to his colleagues. The servant of Solomon went to his colleagues to go and seek for counsel. That was why he lost that position. Sometimes you need to be careful who you seek counsel for. That's why the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, in Proverbs 11:14, there is safety. Look for a trusted person you can confide in. You can look. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, verse 1. He who isolates a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Don't stand alone. Seek counsel. Seek help. I have a problem. Look for somebody you can trust. Not somebody who will expose you. Expose your, the things you have confided. You need help. When you need help, don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. I've been battling with this problem of loss and it's destroying me. Don't keep quiet. It's a deadly weapon before it. It is better to kill, to destroy the egg before it hatches and grows big. Destroy it at the egg level. Destroy it at that level. Don't wait. Look, that thing you are battling with secretly, nobody, you cannot share it with anybody. Every time you've tried to go, you found yourself down, cry out for help. Next point now. Number what now? Number five. Seek God through prayer and fasting. Seek God through prayer and fasting. Friends, listen to this. If it is important to you, you will give up everything to seek this. You know why people go on retreats? Something is important to you, you shut the door to every other thing to face that thing. If this thing is important to you, you will do something about it. We are too busy, full of activities, and we are dying. We're more interested in the public, but inside us, we are skeletons, like the sepulchre full of dead bones. Don't struggle to impress anybody. Look at it. Friends, go for a retreat. Declare prayer and fasting. We have a God who hears from heaven. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, but this kind, however, this kind, that's why I say, it's a stubborn problem. Sexual immorality is one of those kinds. This kind does not go except with what? Prayer and fast. Stubborn. Cry out for help. Go lock up yourself. This thing will not destroy my destiny. Look at Samson. Was anointed from the womb. How many people were anointed from the womb? Very few. Anointed from the womb. Samson. His destiny was mortgaged in the lap of a woman, Delilah. Look at the way they messed him up. A champion, a great champion, became a ridicule, a reproach, a shame. He became an entertainer, a grinder, mocking him. Beautiful destiny was ruined. They plugged his eyes. What brought him down? Sexual immorality. Uncontrolled passion. So let everyone know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not like the Gentiles who do not know God. Friends, you know why you need to pay attention to this? You will either stumble as a result of sexual immorality, or you cause someone else to stumble. In other words, you become a stumbling block. That's why the Bible says, whosoever causes any of these little ones to fall, he said, it is better than what? A milestone be tied on his neck and thrown down. If through you, that young boy with a glorious destiny is brought down, God will demand his blood from your hand. If through you, that marriage is destroyed, God will demand it from your hand. He will not spare you. That's why you must pay attention to this. You must not be a stumbling block. That's why you must cry out. If this is a problem, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, Is this then, let's take it from verse 7. Quote back to verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Not just for somebody, pray for yourself. The thing that destroys a man is not what is outside, it's what is inside. The greatest enemy of a man is not that one outside, it's the one inside within you. Your greatest enemy is not the witch and the wizard, it's the enemy inside of you. The enemy inside of us. Deal with it with prayer and fasting. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, 27. After I preach to others that I may not be a castaway, I put it, I discipline it. You can't kill me. No way. David said, I afflict my body through fasting. I shut its mouth through fasting. You don't know how to fast and pray, you just become a football in the hand of the devil. Fill your heart and your life with all forms of lust. A weapon of the enemy. Next. What is the next point now? Number what? Number 6. Set boundaries. Friends, set boundaries. That's why the Bible says, do not steal love in the book of Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, I think verse 6 or so. Yeah. Say, do not steal love until it is time. Boundaries. This is a limit, my limit. Even God himself set boundaries for the waters. And say, they must not bypass. You got to learn to set boundaries. Under normal situation, I will not do this. Under normal situation, no matter what it is, I will not do this. I will not do it. Define your own boundaries. You must not cross. A very painful experience that I will never forget. One of my daughters some years ago, very painful. I told you some times ago, though I've told you this. Very wonderful lady, and God had helped her. Even in her, before she even became born again, she never messed up. God just kept her. She was just moral. And she became born again in the first year in the university here, University of Ilorin. And she was doing pretty well. But by final year, she failed the course and she needed to come back to receive the next semester. So she traveled home and came back just towards the end of the term, the new semester. And when she came, one of her male friends, they called, connected, said, you are around? Say, yeah, you are around. Where are you? Blah, blah, blah. And the next thing said, okay, will you come and visit me? And she went and visited this young man. Just friends, you know, friends. Which is okay. There's nothing about having friends. You know, every human being loves intimacy, wants to be close, wants friendship. But you must set boundaries. My limits. She was in the house. And she got there around 7 p.m. And they kept on gisting and talking and gisting until around 9, after 9 p.m. And she now said she wanted to go. The man said, it's late. You know, court boys around this Okeodo area, there are a lot of courts, you know. Don't go, it's late, it's dangerous. So, okay. She was persuaded and she slept. That night, the story of her life changed. Because she did not define boundaries. Things I must not do, no matter what it is. You must define boundaries. Oh, I can't tell you the boundaries to set, but you must define boundaries. What I must not do. You want to deal with this deadly weapon of the enemy, you got to find boundaries.
Next point.
Take advantage of kingdom community. Kingdom community.
Take advantage of kingdom community.
God doesn't want you to fight alone. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. God doesn't want you to fight alone. That's why I also refer to that Proverbs 18:1 we just read. Don't isolate yourself. Bible says also in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24. Do not forsake the fellowship of one another as the manner of some. Go to verse, let's take it from verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25. And not forsaking the fellowship of one another. Don't forsake the community of believers. There is strength that God provides for you in that kind of community. There's grace that God releases to you in that kind of community. Don't stand alone. Just a testimony can impart grace in your life. That's why the Bible says, the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Just a testimony. One word can charge you up. Don't forsake it. God provides grace through kingdom community. Don't dissociate yourself. That's why we also encourage you. Don't miss house fellowships. Don't miss it. Don't miss this grace that God provides in the community of believers.
Hallelujah. How many points have I mentioned now? Let me see how I can go. Pardon? Seven. Maybe I should stop here. I always like ending at seven bits. At this point, I'm not sure that I should leave it. Okay. Let's move it. Let me make it this one.
Focus on your purpose. Focus on your purpose in life, and not just about being pure. That's why you need to define your purpose. What God has called you to do. When you focus on it, what God has called you to do, you will never think, you will never want to compromise, because you think that this thing is going to work against the purpose for which God has created you to be. Focus as you walk in life. Look at your purpose. I'm not like any other. The scripture says, why the children of Israel were in the land of bondage? They said they didn't forget themselves. They didn't forget who they were in Christ, in God then. They didn't forget who they were. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Bible says they hung their harps. Focus on who you are in Christ. Focus on what God has called you to do. Not just, hey, I want to live a pure life. That's good. But one thing that will keep you from compromise is, as you keep on knowing, I'm destined for the palace. I know where I'm going. I know what God, I'm a Zapraka. That was what helped Joseph. That was what helped him. Even in the house of Potiphar. I will rather lose my garment than I lose my destiny. I would rather lose it than to lose my destiny. That was what helped him throughout the journey. He was looking at that thing that God has revealed to him. He focused on the purpose. Not just about. Because when you focus on your purpose, you will not compromise. Let me just mention the last one quickly. Walk in grace and not in condemnation. Walk in grace and not in condemnation. Friends, stop living under guilt. Receive forgiveness. Jesus told that woman, where are those who condemn you? Where are your accusers? He said, I can't find them. He said, neither do I condemn you. Friends, let me tell you, Jesus is not interested in condemning you. Jesus wants you to be free. Jesus wants you to live in liberty. Because nobody is immune from this temptation. I have not come to condemn you, and I wanted to receive the grace of God here today. Say, I can't find them. Say, neither I also, the Son of Man, do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Until you receive the gift of no condemnation, I repeat it. Until you receive the gift of no condemnation, you cannot overcome sexual sin. Until you receive the gift of no condemnation. The gift of no condemnation empowers you. Like I said, and I repeat it, the grace that pardons your sin and does not empower you against sin is not grace, it's fake grace. I repeat it, the grace that pardons your sin and does not empower you against sin is fake grace. That's not the grace of Jesus Christ. Look at the grace of Jesus Christ. Neither do I condemn you. Now, take the power to live above sin. Go and sin no more. That was power. I give you the power to live above sin. Take it. Live above that sin. After I've freed you from condemnation. But you must first of all be free from that condemnation. Receive forgiveness that Jesus gives to you. Receive it. There's a blood that washes clean and bright. Look at what David said. Wash me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me. You know, people, that's why you must not condemn people. People have been exposed to this in different ways. You know, some people grew up with this in their environment. They didn't even see good example. Maybe with their parents. From childhood, they've seen all this kind of mess. People have been exposed to this in different ways. But Jesus can set you free, no matter what it is. He can still set you free. There's blood that washes. Said, even your sin be as red as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. If they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. He takes it away. He doesn't cover it up. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, even as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Cleanses us from all sins. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Friends, don't allow the enemy to take advantage of you. You know in that scripture we read, he said that every man should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of any or defraud one another in this matter. For God is the avenger of all who do such, even as I forewarned you. That's our main text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. God is the avenger of all who do such, even as I've forewarned you and I've told you and I'm still telling you. Say, for God has not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. God has not called us into uncleanness. Say, he who rejects this does not reject man, but the Holy Spirit who has given us. Friends, if God tells you to do something, it means he gives you the power to do it. He can't tell you to do something he has not given you power to do. You can be free. Don't allow the devil to mess up your life, mess up the life of your family. Don't bring trouble upon your children. Don't mortgage your future, your beautiful future as a young boy, as a young girl. You have a future. Your star is bright. Don't allow the enemy to mess it up, to steal it. 1 minute loss can ruin that destiny. As a woman, don't allow the enemy to destroy your life, destroy the life of your children. The enemy is just looking for a way to penetrate into that family. Many children are under bondage because of this, because of the life of their parents. But I tell you, in the presence of God, there is freedom. There is freedom in his presence. There is grace. There is forgiveness in his presence. He said, if Christ has not risen, then our sins are still with us. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Then our preaching is futile. Our faith is futile. But he is risen. Our sins are no longer with us. Romans chapter 4, verse 24, chapter 4, verse 25. For our offenses, he was delivered. And for our justification, he was raised up. He was wounded for your offenses. You can enjoy forgiveness. You can enjoy freedom. Don't allow that enemy to ruin your life. Sexual perversion, sin, is one of the deadliest weapons of the enemy. And he's using it silently among believers, not even outside, even among believers. Silently, quietly, ruining destiny, stealing glory, and destroying fortunes. You have come to know the truth today, and the truth must set you free. We bow our heads as we pray.
Jesus, Jesus, hear my humble cry. Lord of those, thou art called, all in thee, not pass me by. Saviors, 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 hear my humble cry. Do not pass me by.
I'd like you to talk to the Lord. Everybody talk to him. This is not the time to point finger to somebody. Look at yourself. Nobody is vulnerable. Nobody is free. We are all vulnerable. Pray for yourself likewise. Probably you are already under that bondage. Tell the Lord, deliver me. I confess it. Don't hide it from him. The deliver me, forgive me. You are not in it yet. Cry to the Lord, my Father. I do not think that I'm standing. I need help. Keep me standing. Receive grace. Receive grace. Everybody pray this prayer. Young people, every man, old, every one of us, pray. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. You need to confess it. Confess it. This is an opportunity for you to confess that sin to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. I've defiled my body. I've brought somebody down. I've brought others down. Please forgive me. I've known the truth today. Lord, set me free. Pray for yourself also. Lord, grace to stand. Grace not to fall. I receive it today. If you are under guilt, receive the gift of no condemnation today. The gift of no condemnation. Jesus has not come to condemn you, but he has come to empower you against that weapon of the enemy. He said, go and sin no more. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive victory over lust. Receive victory over sexual immorality. Receive victory. Receive victory. Receive it. Declare, my body is not for sexual immorality, but for holiness. Talk to God. Receive victory. I receive it. No condemnation. I reject condemnation. From today, I break away from the power of sin, of sexual immorality. Pray that you will not be a stumbling block to others. As a woman, as a lady, as a man, pray I will not be a stumbling block. I will not destroy the destiny of that people around me. As a young lady, as a teenager, pray, Father, don't let me be a stumbling block. Let me ruin the destiny of another person by my lifestyle. Lord, deliver me from this issue. Cry, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It was when David rose to the position of authority that he fell. Pray for yourself. Everybody pray, Lord, any temptation waiting for me in the place of authority, Father, I receive grace over them. The Prince of Elevation.
My humble cry, why, Lord, all those thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, save. Save you.
My humble cry.
Why
another star would call?
kayarabakata labragata libragadala.
I pray for everyone here today who you have spoken to the Lord here. You have opened up and you have expressed your need of Him. I am asking that the grace of God will be sufficient for you. For every man, every woman, no destiny will be ruined here. Every attempt to mortgage any destiny today through sexual immorality, we stand against it in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who have said, I need deliverance. My Father, in your name, I declare freedom. In your name, I declare deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying again, as many that are under guilt today, like Jesus, you said, no, I do not condemn you. I declare in the name of Jesus, let the power of condemnation be broken in the name of Jesus. Receive the power to sin no more. Receive the gift of go and sin no more. Receive the power over that sin. In the name of Jesus, sin will no longer have dominion over you. I receive wisdom for you to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. No more like the Gentiles who do not know God. In the name of Jesus, nobody will be a stumbling block here. Nobody will be a stumbling block to another person. In the name of Jesus. As many young people, children who have been, whose destiny have been mortgaged as a result of their, what they did not know, my Father, in mercy, I recover them today. I recover them today. I recover them today. In the name of Jesus. Sanctify your church. Sanctify your church. Sanctify us. Make us holy. Help us to walk in sanctification and holiness. Help us to walk in this wisdom. And in Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.